This is a podcast from the U.S. Department of the Interior.
Welcome to the Department of the Interior for a presentation of the Department of the Interior's 2009 budget request. Our presenters today are Secretary of the Interior Dirk Kempthorne and Deputy Secretary Lynn Scarlett. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor now to introduce the Secretary of the Interior, Dirk Kempthorne.
Thank you all very much. Welcome to the Department of the Interior. Because of the writer's strike, we have no presentation this afternoon. We'll persevere. Let me again welcome all of you, and I appreciate this. And Lynn and I look forward to presenting the highlights of the budget, the initiatives, and the key elements that Lynn will cover. The President's $10.7 billion budget proposal for the department benefits every American each day in some way. Our budget slightly exceeds our 2008 request with increased funding for a National Parks Centennial Initiative, our Healthy Lands Initiative, and initiatives on safety and education in Indian Country. Overall, our budget includes strategic reductions primarily in construction, in land acquisition, and congressional earmarks. We propose operating increases of 4% over 2008 spending for our land management bureaus. This strong funding of base operations supports ongoing programs in conservation and recreation, resource management on our public lands. We also fund new initiatives to address water crises, manage our oceans, reverse the dramatic decline in wild birds, and to protect our borders. Interior's nine bureaus with 70,000 employees work across 12 time zones from the Caribbean to the Pacific Rim. If we were a company, Interior would rank in the Fortune 25. Gives you an idea of the magnitude. We manage one out of every 5 acres in the United States. We produce one-third of the nation's domestic energy. We conserve wildlife and its habitat. We predict volcanoes and earthquakes. We fight wildfires. We run schools. We manage 391 national park units and 548 wildlife refuges. Our public lands and waters attract nearly 500 million visitors each and every year. We have the third largest law enforcement presence in the federal government. We provide water to farmers and to cities alike. We safeguard our oceans, our coral reefs, and our wetlands. Because we collect royalties on energy production, including offshore oil and gas, we return to the Treasury almost double the amount of our appropriation. We like to remind that to OMB. I'm extremely proud of the professionalism of the employees in the Department of Interior. Each day they serve the American people with remarkable dedication and world-class expertise. Recently I traveled to California where, last fall, massive wildfires driven by high winds, the Santa Anas, devastated communities. The fires displaced close to 1 million Americans and destroyed thousands of homes, a tragedy for many, many people. Those fires and others throughout the West would have been far worse, however, without the expertise of the Department of the Interior employees working hand in hand with other federal agencies, states, tribes, and communities. For example, experts at the National Interagency Fire Center in Boise, Idaho, predicted that high winds would lead to severe fire conditions in Southern California. By pre-positioning our firefighters and our resources, we significantly enhance the ability of federal and state firefighters to combat the California fires. In the aftermath of the fires, Southern California now faces a new threat, and that's mudslides. The U.S. Geological Survey is now mapping and monitoring these fire-damaged areas. Our scientists are working with the National Weather Service and the state of California to warn citizens of dangerous mudslide conditions. Each day, our employees render phenomenal services to the American people. The American public is taking notice. In a recent poll of all federal agencies, Interior got the highest marks for its service to the public. This year's budget empowers us to serve America in continued and new ways. Last year, we announced our National Park Centennial Initiative. This initiative increases operating funds for our parks. This year, using these funds, we will add 3,000 seasonal park rangers to enrich the experience of visitors to our parks. Our initiative also proposes funding to match philanthropic contributions for hundreds of projects to enhance our national parks in time for the 100th anniversary of the park system in the year 2016. Last August, I announced the first wave of 200 pod projects for which private organizations and citizens pledged more than $200 million. These projects will restore an iconic overlook at Yosemite, reintroduce trumpeter swans in Arkansas, create the Lewis and Clark Students to Stewards program, develop a high-tech virtual visit to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and many, many more exciting programs. The President and the Congress strongly support this initiative. The Congress is working on Centennial Matching Fund legislation so we can undertake projects with the funds that have been pledged. Our 2009 budget continues this momentum. Our 2009 proposal is historic. In 2008, we received an increase of $122 million, or 6%, for park operations. Our 2009 request tops that with an increase of $161 million, or 8%, over 2008 funding. Together, these two-year increases total $283 million, or 14%, for park operations. Never in our park system history have park operations seen such increases for two successive years. With these increases, the total park operating budget is $2.1 billion. The President again proposes $100 million a year in mandatory funding that will match up to $100 million annually in private funds over 10 years. Americans, mark your calendars. Our national park system already inspires all of us. It inspires us, but in 2016, we will celebrate a park system truly unparalleled anywhere in the world. Interior's responsibilities extend beyond parks to 258 million acres of public lands in the West, lands key to communities and to the economies of the West. In some of these areas, world-class wildlife habitat sits on top of world-class energy reserves. We must maintain healthy lands, sustain wildlife, and secure energy for this nation. Well, we cannot achieve these goals with piecemeal decisions using incomplete information. We must broaden our planning horizons to look ridgetop to ridgetop instead of simply acre by acre. And we must partner to achieve resource management, conservation, and restoration goals on a landscape scale. Our Healthy Lands Initiative, launched in 2008, provides that holistic framework. The initiative will help us protect sage-grouse, maintain wildlife corridors, while providing continued access to significant energy resources. Our 2009 budget proposes a $14 million, or a 200% increase in funding for this initiative over the 2008 funding level. Total funding proposed for a Healthy Lands Initiative in 2009 is $22 million. This past year, I visited parks and western public lands. I also spent time with many Native American communities. I learned about the devastating impact brought on these communities by drug cartels. And I learned about Indian schools still lagging in education performance. Safety and educational opportunities lie at the very foundation of every community's future. Last year, we launched two initiatives. One to battle the drug cartels invading Indian country, and the other to bring hope to Indian youth by improving their schools. Both of these initiatives received overwhelming support in Congress. Now, under the Safe Indian Communities Initiative, we proposed an additional $16 million last year to battle the scourge of methamphetamine that threatens an entire generation of Native Americans. Congress supported our proposal and added an additional $8 million to this initiative. The bipartisan message is very clear. we must get drug dealers off reservations and behind bars. In 2009, we sustained the full $24 million in funding increases provided in 2008, and we proposed to add $3 million more for the initiative for a total of $27 million. These funds will be used to hire approximately 200 officers to shut these peddlers of poison down. Under the Improving Indian Education Initiative, we proposed increases of $15 million to help Native American children reach their full potential. Congress endorsed our vision for Indian education, funding our request, and investing another $9 million, bringing our initiative total to $24 million in 2008. In 2009, we uphold our promise to Indian children. We sustain the 2008 funding and provide another $2 million, investing a total of over $25 million for our Indian education initiative in 2009. Our initiative is helping tribes to enhance elementary reading programs, to develop improved math curriculum, provide mentoring for high school students, and support leadership training for school administrators. In November, children from many schools funded by the Bureau of Indian Education came to Washington, D.C. to help me kick off a new reading program. These beautiful youngsters showed what Indian children can achieve when they have an opportunity to learn. Through our Indian Education Initiative, they now have that full opportunity. With our initiatives in 2008, we charted a course of excellence for our parks. We laid the groundwork for sustaining healthy lands while advancing energy security. And we put the safety and the education needs of Indian country center stage. But more challenges confront us, challenges that require action now. Last year, the National Science and Technology Council reported that, and I'll quote, abundant supplies of clean, fresh water can no longer be taken for granted, unquote. Water scarcity is not just a problem of the West. It is a problem for the nation. America increasingly faces water scarcities, particularly in areas of rapid population growth. We're seeing prolonged droughts and water conflicts in areas such as the Southeast, where people are used to having unlimited water. The High Plains Aquifer and other subsurface waters are diminishing. The West faces chronic drought. We're proposing a Water for America initiative of $21 million in 2009 to help ensure that communities have reliable water supplies this 21st century. Good management begins with good information, and we have a huge information gap. With this initiative, we will fully inventory our nation's water resources. This will be the first water census for this nation in 30 years. We need information, and we need new technologies and partnerships. The 2009 Water for America initiative provides $15 million for challenge grants to support partnering with urban, rural, and agricultural water users to stretch existing water supplies. We will develop new technologies to reduce the cost of desalinating sea and brackish water. We must also maintain the safety of our water infrastructure. Our budget includes an increase of $15 million for our Safety of Dams program. Our second new initiative advances our knowledge of our oceans and protects spectacular ocean ecosystems. Under our Oceans Initiative, we're proposing an additional $8 million to support the President's Ocean Action Plan. Our Ocean Initiative will broaden our knowledge. We will undertake extensive mapping of our extended outer continental shelf. Currently, many other nations are mapping the seabed beyond 200 miles to secure rights to minerals and energy resources. If the United States is to defend our interests on our outer continental shelf, we must have maps to support our case. We must protect our ocean interests, and we must protect our oceans. Coastlines and deep water are littered with marine debris ranging from soda cans and small plastic objects to derelict fishing gear, abandoned vessels. A floating expanse of debris is gyrating in ocean currents in the Pacific Ocean. Scientists estimate that worldwide debris threatens 267 species of birds and other wildlife. On our coasts, nearly 80% of U.S. estuaries are threatened. We have lost as much as 90% of the seagrass in parts of the Gulf Coast. We're losing coastal wetlands to protect us from major storms, purify water, and serve as nurseries for marine fisheries. Pollution and other human-caused threats are stressing coral reefs all throughout the world. Through our Ocean Initiative, we will join with partners worldwide to embark on a global marine debris and coral reef campaign. We will assess the sources of marine debris and clean up this trash. Cleaning our oceans starts with everyday actions at home. Trash carelessly tossed along a roadside can end up in a storm drain and then into the river, into the bay, and out to sea. Through our Ocean Initiative, I invite America to join us in cleaning up our oceans. Together, we have another task before us: reversing the decline in bird populations across America. For many Americans, birds provide their closest nexus to nature. Last October, I visited Patuxent Research Refuge with the President, the First Lady, to announce a migratory bird initiative. We expand that commitment with our 2009 Birds Forever initiative. Our initiative addresses the sharp decline of many populations of wild birds. Last year, annual surveys conducted by the Audubon Society documented the alarming decline of some of the nation's most valued species. On average, populations of common birds have plummeted 70% since 1967. All 20 common birds in a recent Audubon Society report have lost at least one half of their population in just 4 decades. This downward trend is not acceptable. These declines of well-known backyard birds lessen our links to nature and mark a palpable loss to our quality of life. Our Birds Forever initiative will help us reverse these trends. Our budget sustains $36 million in refuge increases funded in the 2008 budget. And we had $9 million in 2009 for our Birds Forever initiative. Together, this $45 million package will help us protect birds and their habitat. We will improve our over 200,000 acres of vital stopover habitat for migratory birds. That is the equivalent of over 150,000 football fields. We will also expand regional joint venture partnerships to conserve wild bird habitat, leveraging $5 for every one federal dollar. We'll target our efforts on 36 priority species and their habitat. Our initiative includes a $4 million increase over 2008 for new and ongoing joint venture partnerships. Funds will focus on priority habitats along the Atlantic and the Gulf Coasts and the Prairie Pothole and Playa regions of the Great Plains. The Fish and Wildlife Service has signed urban bird treaties with cities such as New Orleans and Houston to preserve bird habitat in these urban environments. We will sign more treaties so that our cities create parks and tree islands as havens for migrating birds. We're also proposing the first increase in the sale price of the duck stamp in over 15 years. This increase will result in protections of an additional 17,000 acres of habitat. More than 50 years ago, a former U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist named Rachel Carson wrote about a silent spring without wild birds singing in the trees. Today, we ask the nation to join us in a pledge that we will never have a silent spring. Our final new initiative addresses another issue in the nation's headlines: border security. The Department of the Interior manages more than 40% of our southwestern border. These remote, once pristine landscapes are home to endangered species such as the Sonoran pronghorn and Pima pineapple cactus. They also are the homeland of many ancient Indian communities. Times have changed along our international border with Mexico. Our employees, residents, and visitors face daily dangers. In many locations, families can no longer live or recreate without fear of coming across drug smugglers. There are now signs on our lands with warnings such as this: caution. Smuggling activity is common in this area because of the proximity to the international border. Be aware of your surroundings at all times. The signs go on to give instructions on what to do in case of an emergency. As urban borders become more secure, illegal activity is shifting to remote areas. Last year, close to 200,000 illegal entrants into the United States were apprehended on public lands in the Southwest, an 11-fold increase since 2001. In addition, drug cartels run violent drug smuggling operations across the border, as evidenced by the nearly 3,000 pounds of cocaine and 740,000 pounds of marijuana seized in 2007. I toured the border last year. I saw firsthand this destruction. I saw where National Park Service Ranger Chris Egley was shot and killed by a drug runner. I met with Interior employees who work along the border and learned about a San Bernardino Wildlife Refuge officer who was threatened at his home with his family over a load of marijuana seized earlier in the day. These are not isolated incidents. We've had to close major portions of our land along the border to visitors and in some cases even to employees to ensure their safety. Interior employees face risks from drug smugglers who establish observation posts on our lands. These smugglers are equipped with assault weapons, encrypted radios, night vision optics, and other sophisticated equipment. This illegal traffic has resulted in significant theft and vandalism and physical damage to public land resources, sensitive fish and wildlife habitats, and valuable archaeological sites. We're proposing an $8 million increase in the 2009 budget to aggressively confront this problem. Combined with increased funding in 2008, we will place additional officers along the border. We will improve radio interoperability, and we will remediate environmental impacts of illegal border activities. We continue to work closely with the Department of Homeland Security to minimize border risk and to improve border safety. The Department of the Interior is at the forefront of many of the biggest issues facing the American people. Many of our initiatives look to the future of this nation, securing for our children and grandchildren healthy lands and waters, opportunities to connect with nature, and the foundations of continued economic prosperity. I'm very pleased with this budget. Like all federal departments and agencies, we face tight budget times. I am gratified that the President supported our priorities. I'd now like to turn to Lynn Scarlett, who will discuss many of the other priorities that we have within this department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary Kempthorne. On behalf of the entire department, I want to extend my thanks to you for your outstanding leadership reflected in our 2009 budget initiatives. As the Secretary underscored, Interior faces ever-increasing responsibilities as Americans look to public lands for recreation, water, energy, and wildlife protection. Since 2001, the nation has created 13 new national parks and 15 wildlife refuges. Access to public lands is increasing, as 60% of the new houses built in America over the last 10 years are located in the wildland-urban interface. This expanding interface of people with places brings opportunities, yet also complicates our mission. Our budget of $10.7 billion, with operating increases for our land management bureaus of 4% over the 2008 budget, supports the basic foundation of all that we do. Our budget funds over 86% of all fixed costs. At the heart of everything we do at the Interior Department lies a focus on management excellence. Strong management is what allows us to carry out our mission and achieve our goals. It is the foundation that assures that we are efficient, effective, and accountable to the American public. Over the past 7 years, our financial management has improved dramatically. This fall, we completed our audit earlier than the prescribed 45 days after year-end, and fully 4 months earlier than our performance 5 years ago. This year, the department received an unqualified opinion, a financial management bill of health, from our auditor, KPMG. In this 11th unqualified opinion, We had no material weaknesses denoting unsound financial management practices. Think of that achievement. In 2001, we had 17 material weaknesses. Now we have none. We've successfully implemented an integrated financial and business management system in two bureaus that actually closed their books using this new system. A third bureau will deploy this system this year. Eventually, as we complete this integration, we'll replace more than 80 business and information systems. Last year, Secretary Kempthorne, working with a team from our bureau, summarized who we are as a department in a core values statement. The statement is simple, yet significant. Stewardship for America with integrity and responsibility. We're fulfilling Interior's mission and meeting management challenges by applying our core values. We're creating a nation of citizen stewards as we affirm our vision of cooperative conservation. Since 2001, working with landowners and others, we've invested $3 billion to restore or protect 5 million acres of lands and 5,000 stream miles. Nature knows no boundaries. Invasive species don't stop at public land borders. Conservation success, therefore, depends on conservation partnerships. Our 2009 budget includes $322 million for cooperative conservation programs, a $10 million increase over the 2008 enacted level, and a 43% increase since 2001. These programs leverage partnership funding to protect endangered and at-risk species, restore wetlands and uplands, and achieve our conservation goals while maintaining working landscapes. Among our greatest partners are volunteers of all ages from all backgrounds. Through our Take Pride in America program, volunteers join us in improving our public lands, our parks, our forests, our cultural and historic sites, and other recreation areas. In 2007, volunteers contributed over 8 million hours to the Interior Department at a value of $157 million. Their efforts spring from their passion for our public lands. We also work with partners to enhance recreation opportunities. Our lands attract over 464 million people each year. Working with local communities and interested parties has helped Interior sustain and increase quality recreation experiences. Interior's 2009 budget provides $1.6 billion to advance its recreation mission by emphasizing increased access and improve visitor services. Land fragmentation, invasive species, a changing climate all significantly affect the lands and waters Interior manages. As one of the largest land managers in the world, with lands ranging from the Arctic to the Everglades, Interior's managers are observing the effects of a changing climate. These effects include melting permafrost and melting glaciers, changes in precipitation patterns, dust storms, and rising sea levels. In this dynamic context, Interior must adaptively manage to address the effects of a changing climate. The 2009 budget includes over $31 million for the U.S. Geological Survey's climate change program, with a focus on filling critical information gaps about climate effects on lands, water, and wildlife. We sustain $5 million in increases in the 2008 budget for climate science to help us manage our lands and waters. Interior is also pioneering the use of alternative energy and energy conservation in its facilities and transportation systems. We're among the largest users of photovoltaic or solar electric systems in the world. Alternative and renewable energy sources comprise 18% of our electricity portfolio. That's six times the recent Energy Policy Act goals for the nation. The Secretary's Task Force on Climate Change will guide Interior's comprehensive approach to studying and modeling the impacts of climate change on our lands and waters. Secretary Kempthorne highlighted the imperative of securing reliable water supplies for the future of this nation. We must also, though, ensure the energy security of this nation as well. Energy warms and cools our homes. It lies at the very foundation of our economy. It fuels our transportation so that we can travel to work, visit our families, and see America and the world. Our new 5-year plan for offshore energy development provides access to an additional 48 million offshore acres. The Minerals Management Service will invest over $8 million in preparations for new leasing activity as identified in that 5-year plan. These lease sales could produce as much as 10 billion barrels of oil and 45 trillion cubic feet of natural gas over the next 40 years, enough energy to heat 47 million American homes over that time frame. The Minerals Management Service is also expanding opportunities for alternative energy production. We'll help broaden the nation's energy mix by providing opportunities for investment in renewable energy on public lands and offshore. Over a dozen companies are planning to submit alternative energy proposals once our Minerals Management Service has completed the framework for offshore renewable energy development. Our 2009 budget will increase access for domestic energy production while achieving important environmental protections. Our Office of Surface Mining will continue working with states to reclaim mine sites and reduce the environmental footprint of current mining operations. The Bureau of Land Management will continue to address environmental risks posed by cleaning up legacy orphaned wells. We plan to begin remediation of the Itigaroo site, a legacy well on the Alaska North Slope. The 2009 budget includes funding to complete that project. Interior also requests new funds for the North Slope Science Initiative to increase our understanding of the Alaska environment. This is an important investment not only for our nation's energy security, but also for those communities that call Alaska home. Water, energy, wildlife management, historic preservation, healthy forests, and fire management, these and so many other activities comprise our daily fare. The Secretary spoke of fires in California and the West. Many fires are natural, but we are also experiencing unnatural, catastrophic fires that result from overly dense buildup of vegetation. The spread of invasive species, chronic drought, and longer summers all combine to lengthen our fire and the intensity of fire behavior. The President's Healthy Forests Initiative, launched in 2002, treats forests and rangelands to reduce the risk from these unnaturally intensive and destructive fires. The buildup of fuel is the one risk factor that this department can impact. Interior has conducted hazardous fuels treatment on 8 million acres from 2001 through 2007, with much of that effort centered on the wildland-urban interface. Our 2009 budget includes over $300 million for healthy forests programs, with $203 million for the Hazardous Fuels Reduction Program, a slight increase over 2008. The Department of the Interior has an astounding set of responsibilities. As a federal agency that touches the lives of each and every American, we work best when we work together. Our 2009 budget will deliver results to this nation through partnerships, management excellence, and the use of science to inform our decisions. We look forward to working with the Congress, states, tribes, and all Americans to advance these goals. I'd now like to invite Secretary Kempthorne to join me back on the podium to receive questions from members of the media. Associate Deputy Secretary Kaysen is also available for questions. Thank you very much.